All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.
There are still hunters in the woods looking for deer, but the season is winding down. Researchers are looking for additional chronic wasting disease cases among Minnesota deer and something else, coronavirus. Yeah, that same family of viruses that includes COVID-19. Last year, researchers at Penn State and the Iowa DNR tested hundreds of samples collected from white-tailed deer in Iowa for the coronavirus. And they were shocked by what they found. One-third of the deer sampled had been infected. Amazingly, from late November 2020 to early January 2021, a whopping 80% of the sampled deer tested positive, a rate of infection 50 times that of humans in Iowa at the same period. The study has yet to be published in a peer-reviewed journal, but scientists are already concerned about its ramifications for the COVID-19 pandemic. A few weeks ago, infectious disease expert Michael Osterholm told me he was watching coronavirus in white-tailed deer with particular concern.
What is going on right now with the white-tailed deer in this country, where we have evidence now that a large proportion of the 25 million white-tailed deer in this country have gotten infected from humans? Are we going to see new variants develop in that animal population or other animal populations and spill back into humans? We don't know.
Dr. Jeff Bender is a veterinarian and professor of public health at the University of Minnesota. He's here right now to tell us more about the spread of the coronavirus among deer and what that could mean for humans. Always a pleasure, Doctor. How are you this morning?
I'm great. Thanks for the opportunity to talk about this.
What did you think when you heard the numbers from the Penn State Iowa DNR study?
I was surprised as well. We had seen actually earlier in the summer some interest or detection of cases in deer, and at that time we really scratched our head as to what this meant. This was a study that was initially done in Ohio, and they found evidence, serologically, so basically somehow they're being affected. And then secondly, they were actually finding virus in the nasal passages. And then the Pennsylvania and Iowa study shocked us even more just because of the amount of detection that was found among the deer that were sampled. So raised a huge question as to, well, how did these deer become infected?
How could wildlife like deer have contracted coronavirus?
Well, the main thing to think about is the fact that, we share a fair amount back and forth between humans and animals. The real suspicion is that we really have a human adapted virus. And so we have this concern about, will it spill over into the wildlife populations? We've seen the spillover to our companion animals. We've seen the concern about the spillover to the zoo animals and the implications of that. And now some concern about wildlife. What does that mean? And this just basically highlights the fact that many of these viruses are shared. And, at this point, our hypothesis is that it's spilling from humans to animals. So what we call a reverse zoonotic disease. That's what we've been telling people, especially regarding our dogs and cats, is that, your animals could potentially get this. That's why it's important if you're sick to try to maintain some distance. If you're concerned about, your animal, to go and see your veterinarian. But the thankful thing is we just don't see transmission from those companion animals to humans. And from wildlife, there's really no evidence that live or dead deer could pose a risk of transmitting the virus back to people.
But what would it mean for a reservoir of the coronavirus to develop in the white-tailed deer population? Dr. Osterholm was kind of worried about that.
Yeah, and I think that's a real concern, is that we're concerned about, will this virus adapt? And so there's been a lot of discussion about the Omicron, and basically we're watching these variants emerge and how it changes. And that's the dynamic thing about, viruses, is that they do change. Is it possible that the virus can change and adapt to an animal population, such as deer? And, and so it raises a number of interesting implications. Will it be a reservoir and then spill over to other animals, or potentially spill back to people? And so that's what's been a real concern, is that This was also a concern earlier, this summer with mink. There was some concern about, especially in Europe, the adaptation of the virus in mink, who seemed to be very susceptible to it. And there was one case where actually the mink probably transmitted it back to a person. And so that concern is very real. So we need to keep that in mind. Luckily, that case does not seem to be the issue, that really the virus is well adapted in people and is transmitted primarily, almost all transmission is really among humans to humans.
What happens, though, to the long-term health of the deer herd? Do we know whether they're getting sick and dying because of this?
Well, I think this is a really important question, and it really highlights the essential nature of looking at the relationships to humans, animals, and the environment. And so one of the things that, especially the veterinary community is looking out for is sick deers and testing sick deer. Our own, diagnostic laboratory here, they'll get samples in and they'll, this is a deer, pneumonia, we should probably test it for SARS coronavirus. Is there evidence of any disease implications? And so it's really important for us to have those mechanisms in place. At this point, we're not seeing any evidence that there's a problem in these deers. I mean, these samples that were collected in Iowa and Pennsylvania and throughout the Midwest, these were kind of opportunistic sampling that occurred, that were part of a hunter kill or hunter harvest, for the hunting season. And so basically just testing those animals, and they were healthy animals, and just to see, do they have evidence of antibodies? Do they have evidence of actual virus? And so, again, it's a little bit of an unknown, but at this point, we really don't have any evidence that live or dead deer pose a risk of transmitting the virus. But it's important for us to really look at that interrelationship between humans, animals, and the environment.
Are you currently testing for coronavirus in wildlife?
Yes, we are. We've actually been testing for wildlife since this summer, and working with a number of key partners with that, so including the Department of Natural Resources, the Wildlife Rehabilitation Clinic, and even Metropolitan Mosquito Control District. And so we've been sampling just a variety of different wildlife species, including mice, raccoons, possums, foxes, coyotes, just a number of different species.
Say, I want to get back to, you mentioned the mink farm situation in Europe. And as I read through that story, as the virus spread through the mink, it mutated and created new variants. And then those new versions of the virus spilled back into the humans, evidently, that's according to research. Using the example of the mink, would this mean that tracking the emergence of new variants, could that become much more complicated?
I don't know if it's necessarily complicated, but it is important. And again, it really highlights one of the key issues of just understanding this human-animal-environmental relationship. And so it's really important to look for these variants and have really a robust system to actually detect variants, and also to have kind of a robust system to look at, spillover events to animals to see, yes, will it become established? And as the mink situation was, they found that, yes, there seemed to be an adaptation to the mink that really allowed its rapid spread among the mink, not only in Europe, but also here in the U.S. We had a similar situation, notably in Utah. It really highlights that, just that importance of having that kind of a robust system to look for these variants.
The final question would be, because you are looking for coronavirus in various animal species, what do you think you might find?
So far our results have all been negative. So that's the good news for wildlife species. However, based on what we've been seeing with deer, I would expect that our results, that we would see some evidence of, in a sense, human spillover to the deer population. So, again, we don't have those results yet, but we collected them through our hunter harvest deer sampling and our partners, and basically our results are pending at this point.
Professor Bender, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.